Okay, we continue in the Sefer Vavi, page Reish Ches Tzadi. We're in the middle of the last chapter, chapter 28, on the topic of Tmimus, on being wholesome with Hashem. And we talked about last time about nullifying one's heart, that the heart wants to understand everything. And well, all we can ask in difficult situations is, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to fix up? Versus, why did this calamity come? Okay, again, not to confuse. There are what and the why. So you're supposed to. That doesn't mean you don't make a cheshbon on nefesh. Of course, you make a cheshbon on nefesh. But the question, like, well, listen, I know one thing. I'm more observant than the other person. So why am I suffering? That's not a question on the table. The question on the table is, okay, if I'm suffering, then God's telling me something. Well, what do I think he's telling me? What do I think he wants me to fix up? Versus, it's a different kind of a why. He could say, yeah, why is he punishing me? Okay, that translates to, what am I supposed to fix up? Okay, so I think people are having a little problem with that. So it means you can ask why. Not that kind of a why. You know, again, why did God decide to punish me? You know, it's unfair, it's this and that. That's not on the table. But if he is, then he wants you to do something. So what am I supposed to do? So that is part of a why. Okay, so why am I being punished? To fix something up. So what should I fix up? So it's really the focus on the what. That's what I think was giving people some trouble last time. Be that as it may, we continue in Reish Ches Tzadi. Imorim nimtza b'madrega sheb'emes lal ichpat lo shehu lo mevin. If a person reaches a level where it truly does not bother him, they doesn't understand why God does these things. Hare ki sheboim alav yisurim. So when suffering comes to the person, Lo rak she'ein ha'koes. It's not only that he doesn't get angry, el she'ein lo shum she'ela, but also he has no questions. Ho'omer l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, he says to Kadosh Baruch Hu like this, Gam im yisurim elu einu mitaknim avonus kol shehem. Even if this suffering is not going to correct any sin that I made, it will have no value in fixing up my sins. It doesn't bother me why they came to me. I'm not disturbed over the fact that it's coming to me. Because if you, Hashem, brought this to me, it must be this is in perfect order and everything is going according to the right plan. That's the attitude a person has to have. So he's taking it even a step further than what we're saying. Even though you're allowed to say, what am I supposed to do, right? So let's continue. He's going to say, Kol zman she'adam mechapes tshuvos. As long as the person is looking for answers, these are the wrong kinds of answers. Hu rachok min hanekudah. He's very far away from this point. In b'shah she'makal b'yisurim, olim b'rosho herhurim kamo, baruch Hashem ze'o tikun la'avon ha'shali, o kaporas avoynes k'loshan an. If when a person accepts the suffering, even in this a positive way, and comes into his mind thoughts where he says, Baruch Hashem, it'll be tikkun. You know, something breaks now, shel zayin kapara. It's the expression we use, there should be an atonement. So even if you're saying that, now that's a level, but even if you're saying that, yeda ne'mana, it's positive proof. Shadayin lo zocha lo gil madriga, so he hasn't reached the level he's supposed to be at. So we all say, my parents always say it should be a kapara. Listen, it's a better level than complaining and yelling and screaming, right? It's a better level, but you haven't reached the top level yet. You haven't reached the level a person doesn't ask any questions, because you see, when you say it's a kapara, you have an answer. When you say shel zayin a kapara, it should be a kapara, what you're really saying is, I have an answer to the question. It's already answering a question. Why is it coming? No, and what if it's not a kapara? Not necessarily. Maybe it's not a kapara. Or only because it's a kapara and now you're happy? You know, because you're setting yourself up, because there'll be things, you know, so when a dish breaks, it's one thing. You know, when something much more serious happens, it's another, and it's not so easy to say it's a kapara all of a sudden. So you're not training yourself properly by saying shel zayin a kapara. You're training yourself, you know, not to be on the lowest level, but you're still far away from the highest level. That's what he's saying over there. So even this standard line, you know, this standard line, it says, oh, see, I'm frum now, because I said it's a kapara. You know, you're frummer than the guy who says it's not a kapara, but you're still not so frum as the guy who doesn't ask any questions at all. One second. If he thinks that suffering has to be a kapara for avonos, ubezem argias libo, and that calms his heart, simin shekayemes bo tshuka lohovin loma yesh yisurim, it's a sign that there still is that yearning to understand why he has suffering. He's still looking for the answers. And that's what we've been mentioning the last couple of days. This is not the appropriate way a person should be. Right? Let me just finish up a section and then we'll take questions. Adam tzarech lichyos b'mahalach pnimi shlo ichpat lo loma yesh li surim. Person has to live in an inner pathway that it doesn't bother him why he has suffering. Dover echad bor lo. One thing is clear to him. Es hayisurim halalu shaloch lo habor yisbarach. These sufferings Hashem has sent to him. V'yodea heitev mashu osa. And Hashem knows very well what he's doing. Zehu. That's it. Ma'av lezeh ulozok lovin klum. Beyond that, he's not worthy to understand anything. Again, we said, of course, Chazal say, Yifashresh b'maisov. Check your ways. I keep telling people, doesn't mean if you're going to do this, things are going to get better. That's not how the system works. Now, as they say in French, it couldn't hoit. But it doesn't say, oh, I'm going to do this, now it's going to be better, right? I said, no, not necessarily. So then people say, well, maybe I shouldn't do it. No, you're supposed to do it anyway, because that's what's due for any standard Cheshbon HaNefesh. Is to be a better Jew. Why? To be a better Jew. Finished. With no guarantees for anything else. Right? So that's all. You don't, Hashem knows what he's doing. That's all. What if Elijah the prophet would come and reveal to the world a new amazing thing? That there's no such thing as a Gilgal. And there's no such thing as correction of sins. Now, of course, the Brach says he couldn't do that. Because it says in the Sfar Makdoshim that it is that. But let's say that there was a concept of suffering without any tikkun. It still shouldn't bother you. It still shouldn't bother you. So if I'm suffering, then Hashem knows why I'm suffering. That's all. Kibin shabor lo shayochid shehevi lo vasishurim hu abor yisbarach v'olav ein lo shum shelos. Since it's clear to him that the one mighty being who brought his suffering is God, there's no more questions to ask. There's nothing to ask to God. Hare kol echad meitonu makar en sofi shelos. Listen, all of us recognize an unlimited amount of questions that could be asked. Lama ploni takua b'shidduch. Why is this guy having trouble getting a shidduch? You know, my wife had a friend who called her, and he's got like three daughters that are deep into the parsha and no shidduchim in sight. You're talking daughters like, same age as my three older children. You know, and then other kids with other problems. One kid's off the derech, and another kid who's very sick. Whatever, I mean, so why us? We're nice Jews, we're no worse than anybody else. Right? Why do we got almost, you know, no nachas from any of our kids? We're nice from family. You know, wife covers her hair. So what is it? Lama la'almoni ain't parnasa. Why is this guy not a parnasa? Rehu Kazeh, Baal Chesed, isn't God a Baal Chesed? Hoem is he? Shein afilu sheilachas. The truth is there's not even one question. Ein musug shel sheil bria. There's no concept of a question on the bria. There's not even a concept of it. There's not even a concept to ask that question. Right? Again, Why do we answer that question, spirit and people? Because if, as we said before, if they're not going to be, if they're going to be unstable from it, and they can't, they're paralyzed by this. Okay, so you give them some Derech Hashem, and you say, okay, could be this, could be that. So, because otherwise they just can't, they can't go ahead in their lives. Okay, so it's not, but for the weak people, or the beginners, we have to say these things. But somebody who's learning this safe already by now, that we've already gone through all these, the other concepts. So it's not, there is no question now. That's a mitzad and akuda pnimis, essentially, from this inner point, adam tzarech lichios bitmimus amitis imabar. A person should live with true wholesomeness with the Creator. As it says, tamim tiyem Hashem lekecha. You should be wholesome with Hashem. Tam, what does a tam mean? Huzeh she'en lo shum shelos. Someone who has no questions. And lo shu lo mevin lo yodeh li shol shos. It's not that he doesn't understand, and he can't ask any questions. No, zoi madjogi tachtoni yosef, that would be a lower level, because that's she'en lo yodeh li shol. That's just someone who doesn't know how to ask any questions. We're kind of mistaken who the tam in the story is over here. Right. She'ena yodei elishol. He's the one who doesn't know how to ask. That's the one who doesn't understand what's going on. The tam is the one who doesn't understand anything. Aval atam, but the tam madregoso hapnimihi, his inner level is she'ena shol shelos. He really doesn't ask any questions. He could say, mazos, what is this? I don't understand what's going on. Not that I have questions. He says, I don't know what it is. Tell me what this is. He comes to the Seder, you know, the young kid, he doesn't know what a Seder is. He says, everybody's doing this. What are we doing? What is this? So he tells him what it is, right? It's not, you know, the Chacham, the Rosh, it's like, you know, why do we have to do this? So why do we have to say this? What is this? Okay, if you don't know what's going on, you have to be explained what's going on. He says, ma. He doesn't say madua. You know, the question of moha edus fachukim is why do we have to do it? Mazos isn't why do we have to do this, it's what are we doing? What is this? Okay, everyone's entitled to ask, what is this? If you don't know what's going on, you have to know, what is this? We're putting on, what is this? You know, kids, for what is this? We're putting boxes on, what is this? Okay, we'll explain to you what it is. We'll explain to you what it is. That everyone's entitled to ask. I don't know pshat in the Gemara. Can you tell me pshat in the Gemara? I'll tell you pshat in the Gemara. Yeah. But don't ask, you know, I know we ask it, but don't ask. Why did the Gemara have to write it so hard? If that's what the Gemara meant, why did the Gemara say it? You don't ask those questions. That's, you know, and I already answered the question. It's because Chazal want us to know how difficult it is to understand life. If all of life, it comes out of the blueprint of the Torah, which includes the Gemara. Right? All of life comes out of that. So you have to be trained to know. See how hard it is to understand the Gemara? That's how hard it is to understand life. Yeah. And the whole way Gemara is written, it's written hard. It's written that you're totally in the dark. You don't know what's going on. You know, you read the lines, I don't understand the word. And you go on, I don't understand. And it's getting more complicated. And it's twists and turns. Yish lomidas. Takes you for pages and pages to far-flung places. I just want to know one thing. Is Yi Shalom Midas? Is it or isn't it? Just tell me. Right? And then even at the end, when it tells you, you don't even understand the logic. I don't understand it. Right? That's life. That's what life is. It's just, life is complicated. So Bedafka was written hard. It wasn't just that they did it in a brilliant, but when you chazer it, and you chazer it, and chazer it, and go it over, and go it over. But nobody wants to go over even once. If you go over it 10, 15, 20 times, and then you get it incorporated into the whole Shas, then you see, man, is it so logical they did it this way? Ah, but that's way, whoa. Who does that? When you get up at the Shemayim, when you get up to the yeshiva up there, if they let you in, okay. If they let you in, then you'll get to that chazara, and then you'll see, wow, it's amazing. That's the same thing how life is. It's exactly the same way. So you could ask, I don't understand the pshat. You can always ask that. You can always say mazos, what is this? But you can't say, well, why did they make it so hard? If I was doing the more, I would have cut out four kimtas. I would have cut out these four things. It's nothing to do with anything. Sometimes you learn Gemara and says, what are they putting this thing in here for? Doesn't make any sense here. Can't ask that. You should ask, you know, what's going on? Let me try to figure out how to fit it in. You know, and that's what keeps the Jewish mind alert and focused on the way Hashem does things too. So that's the Tom. The Tom is not such a simpleton at the Seder. Is the young, remember we're talking about young children at the Seder, right? And so he wants to know what's going on. So if he wants to know what's going on, you tell him. You give him the answers to his questions. That's all. You don't have to get into philosophical issues. The rush, if you were there, we wouldn't let you, Hashem wouldn't have taken you out of Mitzrayim. And that kind of talk, even though we know that's not what it really means. But anyway, you know, you just tell him what it is. Right? Why is that the Madriga of the Tam? He knows he doesn't have to ask any questions of why. He's not anticipating any answers. He yearns only to do the will of Hashem. Without understanding why and all these things. When a person goes in this pathway, he has now reached the inner level of wholesomeness. He doesn't even have one question his whole life. And at the moment when he is tamim tia, what's the next three words say? Tamim tia im Hashem alakecha, with Hashem your God. Legamri b'tveikas neres. He's totally 100% with Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Right. So that's the issue he's bringing down over there. So really, you know, what he's been saying up to now is, you know, our lev, our heart, really wants to understand things. Really wants to understand things. And it's so contrary to our nature to not listen to the lev. In HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, we read last week, right, the first mitzvah. It's another part of the drush that I didn't get to. People were stung enough. I heard there was a lot of feedback from the drush on Shabbos. People were annoyed. Baruch Hashem. I even got a board member who sent me a letter. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. That they think the drush is getting a little too strong. Baruch Hashem. So so much I won't do. Anyway. So HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. How do we start this? The other idea of the moon that I just hinted to is that difference in the sun and the moon, right? By the way, we made Kiddush Levana last night, Baruch Hashem, after the Rambam. In the first quarter, we were able to make Kiddush Levana, during the first quarter, we were able to make the different quarters. There's quarters of moon, quarters of a game. So we were able to do Kiddush Levana to a tikkun for the rest of Thornhill that was watching the game and make a tikkun to at least do Kiddush Levana. And if you were on Shabbos, you understood it's Super Sun Day. So it was the sun. And they're still, they don't know about it. They never still believe it. They know about it, man.
They know about the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Yeshiva Bachem, 20 guys rent out a hotel room. Rent out a hotel room. And they watch the game at 1 o'clock in the morning. And they don't learn the next day. It's unfortunate. But anyway, that's what happens. It's unfortunate. Not all. For sure not. Morty wasn't. So the idea of the difference in the sun and the moon is the sun doesn't grow. The sun is the same sun it always is. And really the scientists are telling us it's shrinking. Ever so slightly. It only has another 2 billion years left and we have no sun. We have to worry about this to spend millions of billions of hours to save the sun. Right? But it doesn't grow. The moon grows. So even when you're mamish up to zero, right? It comes Rish Chodesh, right before Rish Chodesh, there's nothing there. You know, Yid, and we said, and the Medrash says, Yidden count by the moon, Goyim count by the sun. Like the Goyim are like the sun, the Yidden's like the moon. So the moon, okay, you know, it's been a lousy winter. I haven't been Matzliach. Okay. Now you bench the Chodesh, and you see the Chodesh month was nothing. As we said, the closer the moon is to the sun, the less you see of the sun, moon. The further away, the more you could see. So maybe I was a little too close to the goyim for the last couple months. I'm acting like a goy myself, so I didn't grow very much. But I can pull away. If you pull away, the moon pulls away, all of a sudden it grows. You could see it more. So Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. You can... Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. The month is for you, not for Goyim. So you say, well, what's so bad? What's with the Goyim? The Goyim don't grow. How much did the Goyim grow last night during between 6 and 10 p.m.? The only thing that grew were certain people's pocketbooks. You know, now they know who the next, the belly grew, yeah, for sure. And they grew a knowledge of more useless information. You know, oh, it was the most amazing play ever in Super Bowl history, man. Unbelievable, whatever, you know, every game has to have, you know, unbelievable. It was worth it, right? So, you know, so they're like the sun, garnished. A yid sits down and learns some Torah last night. You're already growing, right? But there's a second understanding as well, is that you have to be so careful. To be so careful because the moon, even though it grows, but you make any mistake, even on the highest level, then all of a sudden you can start to get smaller. That's the other lesson of the moon. You could be at the 15th, and mamish, you're gavaltic, and you're so full and so everything. And all it takes, a little mistake, and all of a sudden you can lose that level without even realizing that level that you're at. Right? That's also another important part. So they tell this famous story with Rebbe Lazar ben Aruch. Rebbe Lazar ben Aruch, we know of the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? I think it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He had the five students, right? So Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch was the smartest of all the students. He was the smartest of all the students. He said, if I put all my students on one side and Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch on the other side, he outweighs them all. He's a Mayan Hamizgaber. He's like a spring that shoots forth water in his Torah. He's incredible. He's a genius. He's the God Lador. He's the next God Lador. When I die, he's taken over, he thought. Right? So what happened after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai dies? So what happens, you know, he's been working hard. He decided to go on a vacation. Went to a place called Dimyusi. It was, the way the Gemara describes it, was like a resort. You know, good waters, fresh waters, and this and that. Like Florida, you know, whatever, something like that. Somewhere in Bavel, in Eretz Yisrael, whatever. Netanya face, I don't know, you know, whatever. So anyway, and all kinds of Gemaras over there, you know, because see, all the students went to Yavne after Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. They says, "What do I have to go to Yavne?" So the wife says, "What do you have to go to Yavne for? You're the smartest of all. If anybody needs any Torah, they should come to you." So he goes to Florida place. He goes there, and then he stays there. Nobody's going to learn. He's not learning with anybody. This is how long he was in Florida. Anyway, so he finds it. You know, I think I got to go back to yeshiva. So he comes back. It's Parshas Bo. Right. So he's got to read the pasuk, Achodesh. And when you get an aliyah, you read the parsha. Right. So he comes to the words Achodesh Hazeh Lochem. This month should be yours. So what? How does he read it? Hachareish, hachareish, hoyu, hoyolibom, hachareish, hoyolibom, which means their hearts have become deaf. Their hearts have become deaf. In other words, can you see how far he slipped? You know, we're not talking about a secular Jew getting called up to the Torah now. We're talking about Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch. It's the God Ladar. Can you imagine Lahavdol, take Revel Yashuv. Can you imagine take Revel Yashuv of Kanievsky? Okay, whatever. The Belzer Rebbe. They went on vacation for a little while. They come back to read from the Torah, and they can't even read. It's unbelievable. So they said, he forgot his learning. And he was like the 15th of the month. He was like a full moon, man. But a little mistake, all the way down. You don't even realize it till it hits you like that. So one of the Mefarshim on the Gemara there says a lot of fascinating things that I don't want to say all the fascinating things over there. But he says if you look carefully, if you look carefully at the psukim over there, you see the real problem over there is the real problem is what brings a person to make these kinds of mistakes. What brings a person to make these kinds of mistakes? It's a person follows the heart. When you follow the heart, you know, is not always so clear. The heart, you know, is emotional and makes emotional decisions, doesn't make intellectual decisions. So, you know, emotionally, he felt he was, you know, he deserved to be the gadol, and people should show him the right respect, and he doesn't have to run after people. So we know that the neshama has three parts, the lower three parts, starting from the neshama down to ruach, down to nefesh. And there's three parts of the body that correspond to that. Where does the neshama manifest itself? In the moach, in the brains. Right. Then we have the next level is the ruach comes from the lev, and then lowest down comes the kloyos, comes the kidneys. So what Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, and if you look at the pasuk hachodesh hazeh lochem, right? So the letters that he messes up on, you know, it's in this pasuk hachodesh hazeh lochem. So lochem, what's the reshit tevah? Is lamed chaf mem, lamed chaf mem. There's an interesting medrash on that pasuk where Hashem says, you know, really, I want to make you people into kings. I want to make you into kings to be a melech. So the word melech has the same letters as lochem. So what's the difference between melech and lochem? Because a melech, what's a melech? What's a person who rules over himself? Starts with the letter mem. Mem stands for moach, for the brain. Then lamed stands for lev. And then the melech. And then the chav sofis is the kloyus, is the kidneys. So a person who's a king over himself, his brains tell him what to do. The brains tells him what the heart should get emotional over. And then it filters into the blood, the kidneys, and that's what you do. And that's a melech. But a chodesh hazeh lochem, I have to give you the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh because it's lochem. You guys are still operating with the lamed first, the lev, your heart. You go after your hearts. And then, once your hearts want something, get emotional, then the kloyus, then you do it. And now that you distorted who you are, then the mem, then the moach justifies everything you've done. You hear? Chodesh hazeh lochem. I'm giving you the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. I'm giving you the mitzvah to know that I gave you a gift called time. I gave you a gift that you're like the moon. You're not like the goyim. You can grow. But you lived in Egypt, and what? Your heart said, how can we leave Egypt? How can you leave Egypt? We got to be like everybody else. That's a very emotional thing. You know, the peer pressure doesn't work on brains. It works on a heart. It's the heart that gives in to peer pressure. And once the heart gives in, then the cloyus, the blood, then you do. Right? You do like a goy. And then your moach justifies it. I'm already doing it. I have to explain why. Every Jew should watch the Super Bowl. It's a mitzvah. Now you could just make it a mitzvah. And the rabbi's too strict. He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's what Chodesh Hazeh Lochem. So for you, Bedavka, you need Rosh Chodesh. And that's what the Medrash says, because I want to make you into Malachim. If you understand the message of the moon, then you'll be a Melech. See, we live in a world that everybody asks why. CNN is why? You don't understand. You know, just watching, even if there's not one trafe thing, the whole idea of our analysis, in-depth team analysis, to why this is going on. There's one reason. It's very boring. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants it this way. Why? Why did Obama win? What? Why? You know, we're looking for answers. There's nothing to look for answers. It's this whole mentality. It's, even if it's 100% kosher, 100% kosher. You know, meet the press. You know, it can't be anything more kosher than that, right? But the whole etzem, the whole zach is that the heart has to be satisfied. This chukka, you know, the People want to know what you're feeling right now. That you just, you know, you just, your husband's been blown up. I want to know your feelings right now. You know, why? Why are you feeling, why are you doing what you, that's not how we live. That's not what it's all about. It's not the lathe. The lathe doesn't run the show. The lathe's asking why. You'll never be a melech if you're always asking why. If that has to be satisfied before you continue, lachem, forget it. Hachodesh hazeh lachem. Like we said on Shabbos. You know what? You are the eternal people. You have to, the moon shines even in the day, not at night. The sun only shines in the day, doesn't shine at night. Yidden always have shined. Why? There's no answer to that question. You know why? Because you do what I say. That's the first mitzvah. The first mitzvah is stop asking why. Just do it. And do it besimcha. And that's how they got out of Mitzrayim. That's how they got out of Mitzrayim. And we have to get out of Mitzrayim now. We have to get out of Mitzrayim now. These are the parshas. The mamish get out of Mitzrayim. Okay, anyway, I talked enough. There were questions. You got to answer. I figured. Okay, yes, Rafon. I had to say that word. It just was sitting on me the whole Shabbos. I didn't get a chance to say it, but I found a place to put it in. Yeah. Go ahead.
Is it a higher level not to ask any questions than to ask what?
Is there a higher level not to ask any questions than to ask what? You have to ask what. Chazal say you have to ask what. If things are going not well, you know, Hashem is saying something. You know, you don't know what he's saying, but he's saying something. If Chazal would say, you know, Yisur Boy Malacha Yefashvesh B'Maisav, they're not saying, well, but really a higher level is not to be Mefashvesh B'Maisav. That's not a higher level. You know, the whole idea of having a tainus, right? If it doesn't rain, in Eretz Yisrael for too long, right? As is happening right now, right? There's Chazal say, you have to make a tainus. Or if bad things happen, bad things, peronios bolo oilam. You see bad things going on, you have to stop and make a tainus. Why? If you're saying the high level is not to ask anything, so why should we make a tainus? Let's just live like regular. You're not supposed to live like regular. If things are not going regular, God says you can't live regular. But again, you don't ask why me, why us. You just say, okay, so what should we do now? Obviously, God wants us to upgrade something. So we'll speak to the Gedolim, and they'll tell us what we should do. And they'll tell you things you don't want to hear. They'll tell you, throw out the TV. That'll be the first. You don't want to hear it. Your heart doesn't want to hear it. Right, and your brain's already justified why it's 100% mutter for Orthodox Jew to have a television's house. That's it. Because your heart's lost. Right? But that's what they'll tell you, what you should be doing. It's not at a higher level, it shouldn't shake you, you shouldn't be scared, you shouldn't be frightened, you shouldn't be in anguish. You should know, Hashem knows what he's doing, and right now he's saying it's time for a course reevaluation. Okay. So you're gonna make a course reevaluation. That's what Hashem wants me to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to ask why. I'm going to do it. I thought I was okay. Probably not as okay as I thought I was. Or maybe other people aren't. Whatever. Okay. I accept it. In other words, you always are trying to hear the messages. There are messages. But part of the message isn't for you to figure out the why. Again, there's the two whys that you shouldn't confuse the two whys. Okay, of course there's a reason for everything. Of course Hashem wants you to do something. But why me? That ain't the question. It's not on the table for discussion. Yeah?
But isn't it a bit of a blurred line? Like, when you say, what should we do? You're really saying, why? Why did this happen? Because then you know, you need to know what to do.
That's what I said before you walked in. I said, there's two different whys. There are two different whys. It's totally two different whys. Again, you have the very frum rabbi, or whatever, not rabbi, I don't want to say the word rabbi, very frum person, does torments everything, and you have the real secular Jew. Secular Jews have a great time. Frum rabbi is unga flights with Soros. So, you know, so the first question person wants to say, why is he suffering? He's not suffering. That's not on the table. It's not on the table. That question's not on the table. The question is just one thing. What does Hashem want from the tzaddik to do? That's it. What does he want him to do? So you're gonna say what? That maybe the tzaddik spoke some lashon hara. Let's go further. Okay. So the tzaddik introspects, and says, you know, I remember one time 18 years ago I spoke lashon hara. Ugh, that must be it. No, and the second Jew speaking lashon hara all his life? He's having a good time? There's a bigger why to ask, isn't there? So that's not the kind of why did God do it. It's okay, what has to be fixed? It's a different why. It's a totally different why. It's not a why from it's not fair. Right? We want the whys to make everything fair and right and just. So even, okay, now you know. We found that out. 18 years ago, the tzaddik said a little lashon hara. It was like mamish avak lashon hara. And that's why he's very sick today. That's why. Now, you're not going to have any questions after that. You have more questions now that you answered that question. Now he has all that. And this secular Jew's mamish, he speaks lashon hara every minute of his life, let's say. Or the frum Jew speaks lashon hara every minute of his life. And he just got a raise at work, and he's the president of the shul, and he gets this covenant and goes to Florida and this and that and everything else. You don't have any whys? Right. So why is he suffering because of the lashon hara? That's a why. It's not the same kind of why. It's not the real why. It's the what needs to be done to fix this issue. But why did God have to make him sick? That's already, you can't ask those questions. And those are the questions that are really bothering us. Those are the ones that paralyze us. It's not what should we do. Those don't paralyze people. Right? Okay. So Hashem deems it that this has to happen. So obviously he deems that we have to work on something. That's a very calm way of dealing with things. No, you may be dead in a week, and you're still figuring, well, I wonder what lashon hara I spoke about. You gotta be very calm. You gotta really be using your brains to be living that way. You know, that's usually 99% of people come to the rabbi aren't looking for that why. They're looking for the other whys. And that's the difference. I said it's a subtle, but huge difference. To be in that level to say, okay, I must have done something wrong. Hashem wants me to fix it up. That's not a why, a real why. You know, why I'm such a good Jew? Why are the frum Jews suffering and the not-frum ones aren't suffering? Now that's a why. Doesn't make any sense. Right? And even if I did speak Lashon hara once, so this much suffering I have to get? Is that fair? And those are the whys that we really don't want, that are there, we're afraid to acknowledge that they're there. That's what he's doing. That's the why. That's clear the difference over there. Okay, let's continue. Oh, there's another question? Oh, we're on Reish Tzadi Tess in the middle of the page. I'm sorry. That you could ask. The Tom can ask that question. You can ask that question. Where is also a good question? It's, you know, where are we in Jewish history? Is a fair question. Not why are we here in Jewish. I mean, where are we in Jewish history? Where are we? We're in a place we mamish, we're at the end of the exile, and we have to mamish stay far away from the goyim. That's where we are. That's where we are. Why? That's God's business. Why do we have to be close to Mashiach? We've been better 40 years ago during the baby boomer generation, where we didn't have to worry about Mashiach coming. No. Why am I in this time of the world now? Why am I alive during the Holocaust? That's not your question. Okay. Hakaras Pnimis, the inner recognition, the Hu Amar Vayehi. In the pasuk it says, Hu Amar, he said, Vayehi, and it came into being. Kama b'chol inyonei midos, like in all aspects of midos, of character development, Shem nitzos gam b'hakara v'gam b'seis hakara, that are found in the conscious and in the subconscious, shel ha'adam, just like any mita, person can be angry, have a temper, he can be conscious of it or in his subconscious. Gam be'inyan ha'sheilos, so as it is with questions, yeshem she'el she'em ba'kor, there are questions on the conscious level, yeshem she'el she'em tzos b'teis ha'kor shalom, there are questions that are found in the subconscious level of the person. Even though consciously he thinks he's not asking any questions, he has to inspect deeper into his heart. Maybe something really is bothering him in life. Or maybe there are certain points in his life that are bothering him. If a person feels pain, and we're not talking lo tsar haguf, we're not talking about physical pain. El yisurim pnimi, but inner pain. Mikol nekuda b'chaim, from every point of life. In other words, let's say b'nochola kovla lev. Let's say you have a child who's sick, or you have heart problems. We're not talking about that pain, but the spiritual pain, the emotional pain that you have. Ay, how am I going to deal? How am I going to deal with a sick kid? Right? Nothing's hurting you, you know, but it's this emotional pain. So even if that kind of pain, and you may not even express it so much, you're not at the level we're talking about here. Certainly to reach this level, it needs a lot of strong avoda work. A person has to try to take these words and to progress as much as able to. But the inner point, the point that's equal in all these aspects, but it's to reach this inner point of life with simple emuna in the Creator without any questions. Everything that comes to a person, he accepts besimcha, with joy, kipshuto, simply. It comes from the clear emuna of, as the pasuk says, Hu Amar, he says, Vaye comes into being. Hashem knows what he's doing. Hashem knows what he's doing. Asaknu b'prakim shin. Asaknu b'prakim rishonim. Bini Amuna. We were engaged in the earlier chapters of Amuna. V'chavakuk v'hamida malachas. And Chavakuk put him on one point. V'tzadik b'munaso yichya. The tzadik lives with Amuna. Zuhakara ha'pni mishal Amuna. This is the inner point of Amuna. Shein shum shelos. There's no questions. L'rak emuna sheish barolam, not just that there's emuna, there's a creator. V'lo emuna bar gashem u'chashish ha'kadosh barolam. He's going over all the points that we've gone through in the book now. Not just having emuna, there is a creator. Not just emuna, he's mamish next to us. Not just emuna, that he's a hashkacha, he's in charge, and this and that, and everything else. El emuna kazu, shemekoch adam chai ragua v'shalv kayuav. But it's an emuna that he lives in tranquility with this. Kvish Amarna, as we said, Purim hu gematria she'elu. We said Purim is the gematria of she'elah, question. That at Purim, you don't ask any questions. There's questions, but you're not looking for any answers. There are plenty of questions, but they don't bother you. Yesh lahos, you can add now, shugam gematria shalov. It's the same kind of shalov, which means from shalva, tranquility. Kikishadam avatal is kol ha'shelso, when a person nullifies all his questions, yesh lo shalva mitis, he has true tranquility. Menuchas emes v'muna, menuchas shalom v'shalva, as we say in the Shabbos mincha, a rest, a true believing rest, a rest of peace and tranquilities. In davar achar pnimi yoser v'musag mishal nivra, there's nothing innermost of what a person can conceptualize. V'medregazu mevat lodom es kol kulak hashem baruch, on this level a person nullifies his entire being to Hashem. Lo show el klom, he doesn't ask any questions. El aholech im HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'tmimis, but he goes wholesomely with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The closer a person gets to this level, if he doesn't have any questions, he's happy with the way Hashem runs everything all the time. He's close to Hashem as God. The distance that he's far away, that he's far away from this concept, he's very far away from the Creator himself.